Good morning. I am so excited. You have chosen to join me for this breakout session about experiencing the presence of God. And I first want to say I'm so sorry that I'm not with you in person. Our niece from Oklahoma is getting married in the panhandle of Florida this evening, so I'm catching an early flight to be with the family. But I could not resist getting to do a breakout session about this with you because God is so faithful. So today we're going to be just doing some activities from this book called Joyful Journey. We have some for sale in our sisterhood store, but you can just order it online. I highly recommend it. I was introduced to this material about 9 years ago, and it has changed my life and the way that I relate to the Lord. You'll see it's a very small little booklet. It's like 47 pages of very easy reading. But then once you've read it, you can go back and actually do the activities, which we'll do a few of those today. So it starts with interactive gratitude toward the Lord, because gratitude is actually like the key that opens the door to perceiving His presence in our lives, because we aren't just talking to Him, we're hearing from Him. And so I'm super excited to do this with you. And then my portion will be short, and then we've got a wonderful group of sisterhood leaders with you today. And Julie Pippin will close us out with some additional teaching about what it means to have a quiet time and being in the Word, and how we learn and hear from Jesus through the Word as well. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to do some breathing, then we're going to write out some gratitude, and then we're going to listen and perceive what it is that the Lord says back to us. And then I'll have some additional comments after that, just so that you know what's coming. Now, I know you're in a room full of people, and so one of the things you're going to want to do is, as we close our eyes to do some breathing, you're going to just imagine yourself in your safe space. A lot of times, many of our pastors have started calling it your secret place. It's wherever you feel safe and comfortable. It's where you spend time with Jesus. I've had different locations in my house, out on the patio, in a park, or even at the YMCA chapel before I would work out. So there are no rules for where you interact with Jesus. The goal is actually that you will learn to perceive His presence with you all the time, every day, all day long. Because our brains are actually hardwired with 6 big negative emotions. They are sadness, anger, fear, shame, hopeless despair, and disgust. So those things happen in our minds. They're not in our conscious thought. They're just happening in the background, in our right brain, where our emotions live. And so our interactions with Jesus are what help us to calm those big 6 negative emotions when they're happening. And also interacting with Jesus, perceiving His presence, knowing that He has good intentions for us, are also what destroy the lies of the enemy that are being fed to us all the time, as well as just connecting with the Lord for wisdom for life, direction day to day, how to handle our children in parenting, how to handle situations in our marriage. So this is so valuable and will change your life. Truly, it will. Okay, so let's go ahead and start with our breathing activity. I'm just going to ask you to go ahead and get comfortable in your seat. Put your feet flat on the ground, lean back in your chair, and close your eyes. We're going to do this box breathing where you inhale for 4, hold for 4, exhale for 4, and hold for 4 before you inhale again. I'm just going to snap and talk us through it. So ready, inhale, hold, exhale, and hold. Now what we're trying to do here is notice in our body if we're holding any tension anywhere. So you might, if you've been triggered in anger, you might feel hot. If you've been triggered in fear, you might feel stiff in your legs, or your heart might be racing. But what we're doing here is we're calming our adrenal system. So you can, I've lost count. Inhale, Hold. And then exhale. And then hold. So now on this last one, I want you to see if as you exhale, you can just blow out that feeling. Get it to release from your body wherever you were feeling that tension. Okay, and now with your eyes closed, in just one moment, we're gonna open our eyes and we're gonna connect with each other. Before you open your eyes, just let me tell you, we can do that by looking in each other's left eye. So ready, open your eyes and point to your left eye. I know you guys think that's so funny. And I do, I have some girls in the studio with me today. We want to look in each other's left eye because that is the connection to the right brain where the emotions are. And when we give each other these joy smiles, we're actually creating joy in our brain. So as we've released the tension in our body through breathing, and then we connect. Now, if we're alone, if we're having our quiet time, you can just imagine Jesus in front of you, smiling at you right in your left eye and giving you so much joy. And as you practice this, you will start to notice not only where you feel the big six negative emotions, the tension, the tightness, the heart racing, the heat, whatever your body does, you can also start to notice where you feel joy in your body. You might feel like a tingling or a warmth in your heart. There's different ways that you will feel and notice it in your body, but it comes with practice. I promise, don't feel weird if you don't feel anything for a while. You just have to keep practicing to be aware of your body, defining your emotions, and then bringing them to Jesus. So now that we've done that, we want to grab one of the sheets of paper that's at your table, and we're going to express gratitude to Jesus, but this is the key. We want to pick one thing we are grateful for. It would be very easy for most of us to be able to just make a huge list. I'm so thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for my church. We could make a big, long list, but what we really want to do is choose one thing that we're grateful for and then meditate on that for a few minutes. Some of you may already like journaling. Some of you may not be that much of a journaler. Some of you may prefer to journal in your phone with digital things. I prefer paper and pen, but everybody's different and that's fine. But we're gonna write down one thing we're grateful for. We're gonna meditate on it. We're gonna say, why? Why am I grateful for that? And just think about it and then see if you can feel the gratitude in your body. And it's okay if you don't, no pressure whatsoever. And then after we do that for a few minutes, then we're going to ask the Lord, do you have anything to say about my gratitude? Okay, so let's just do that right now. I'm gonna just stay right here with you. I'm gonna do the activity as you do. And just again, you might need to imagine yourself alone. No one's looking at your paper. No one's paying attention to what you're doing or thinking or writing. Okay, this is your moment with the Lord. So let's each just pick one thing that we're grateful for. Now, as you've written and you're feeling that gratitude, just it makes me emotional. Just take a moment to listen. Ask the Lord, is there anything you want to say about my gratitude? And just write down whatever you hear. You might hear words. You might see a picture. You might get an image. Just write down whatever it is that you hear or see in your mind's eye. I hope that you heard something meaningful in response to your gratitude. It is, it's really where the Lord speaks to us and speaks our identity to us, reminds us who we are. One of the words the Lord has spoken to me over the last several years as Greg and I have walked through his health issues, the severe, debilitating pain that he's been living with, and how hard and challenging that season has been, one of the days that I was doing this, because no matter how hard our season is, we can always find ways to be grateful and express gratitude to the Lord. And so one of the things that he spoke to me was that I am persistent. Tamara, you are persistent. And I had to like look up what persistent meant, but oh my gosh, it was so powerful to hear the Lord say to me that I am persistent. And so I just encourage you to practice this. And then I'll show you as well how as you practice this interactive gratitude, where you're expressing gratitude to the Lord and then hearing back what he has to say about it, if you stay in that moment with him, he will then take you through, this is in our book and on your page, where the Lord says, I can see you. And it means the Lord can see me right now. He can physically see what anyone else can physically see. But then it also means I can see you. It means he sees in us. He sees the wholeness, the fullness of who we are on the inside. And then he says, I can hear you. Well, that means not only can he hear what everyone else around us can hear, he can hear what we're thinking. He can hear and see our feelings. He says, I understand how big of a deal this is for you. So whatever you're going through, the Lord can see it all. He can hear it all. And he says, I know this is a big deal to you. And it means it's a big deal to him as well. And then he says, and I'm glad to be with you. You know, when we are having bad feelings, negative emotions, great upset, big fear, big anger, we don't think anyone would want to be with us. It's hard to be with people if they're not in a good place. But the Lord says, I'm glad to be with you, even in a negative emotion. And then he'll say, I can do something about it for you. And the peace that you will receive as you go through and actually journal these things out, what does he see? He sees me sitting in a studio. He sees me in front of a camera. What does he hear? He hears me talking to you. But what does he know? What does he actually know? All the things inside, all the fear, all the upset. He sees it all. And he is the one that's happy to be with us, and that he can do something about it. He's completely trustworthy because he is faithful. I'm so thankful to have had this time with you. I'm going to be praying that you continue to practice these skills and interacting with Jesus this way. But the other part of our session today is with Julie Pippin and how we read and study the Word. It is the Word of God that gets planted in our hearts and gives us wisdom, not just for today, but for what's coming. You just have no idea how the Lord prepares you for different situations when you're in the Word consistently. So will you just join me in welcoming Julie Pippin?
I'm honored to be here, and such tough to follow through that because she is awesome at that. I do want to share with you, I'm going to be comfortable, I'm taking my shoes off now, so I'm going to be shorter than her, is if you don't journal, it's okay. I don't want you to be like, well, I don't do that. I'm not for, because I don't either. I just, that's just me, and it's okay. I used to feel really bad about that and really be self-conscious of it. So when I was sitting at a table like y'all, I'd be like, oh, let me just pretend like I know what I'm doing. And I had no clue. But part of that was because I had dyslexia, and I had for years until I was about 48, 49 years old. I know it's hard to believe. I'm 53, but whatever. but I was healed with that. And when I was, all of a sudden I could read better. I could write better. I could stand up here like this, because before, there is no way you would have caught me 5 years ago to be in front of you. I would joke and say, I would rather throw up in front of all y'all. And that's embarrassing. But I would rather do that than speak. So when God healed me of that, which God can, if you have dyslexia, we have prayed for people with that before. And we have seen healings, but God can, and it will change your confidence and your feeling and ability to be in the Word. So if you don't journal, it's okay. Don't feel bad. If you do, great. Keep on. Some people might not journal just because it triggers something in them of maybe someone shared with me once, but they did that for a while when they were a kid, but it was misused to them. Maybe their mom had it or somebody had it. And so they're like, I am never writing again. Well, that is a trick of the enemy, and that is a lie. And so we curse the lie and tell it to leave and tell it that's not who we are. Because there is, there's different points I'm going to point out, and you'll hear these of what I'm going to talk about. So I'm going to jump right in. So there's no right. Sorry, I have a Tic Tac, and I'm seriously kicking it out of my mouth because I keep choking on it. It keeps going to my tongue. Okay. Nothing but realness here, people. So there's no right or wrong way to do devotions. The biggest right way is to do them. I don't care when you do them, how you can do them. There's several ways. I'm going to go over that. Just do them, because it is a proven fact. I'm going to just put a little cute meme up here that I had found. When you do these, just by reading the Bible, your feeling lonely drops 30%. Your bitterness relationships drop 40%. Your anger issues drop 32%. Your feeling spiritual stands 30% up. Your peace, your sharing the faith goes up 200%. Your discipline goes up 230%. Your discipling, I can't read my own handwriting, goes up 230%. And your scripture memorization is 407%. Your peace is 100%. You can't take that away from you. And that memorizing scriptures, I had trouble doing that as well, and I still struggle with that. But it's funny. I'm going to share with you in a little bit of you memorize them more than you know. Because when you're in this sweet Word, it's getting in you, and it's pouring into you, and you are getting it in your gut. And that is just what's important of being in it. Because when you're not in it, I'm just going to share with you not my best self, but when you're not in it, a couple First Wednesdays ago, where we had First Wednesday at our own campuses, Pastor Michael was preaching at ours, at the Plant City campus. If you don't know, I'm Plant City, Pastor Michael's wife. And I'm sure if you've ever heard him preach, he loves to tell stories about our family and rats on us, which was no different. He did then. And he started talking to me. And when I say bless, I don't mean it in the Southern way always. Now, if I say bless your heart or you're pretty, that might be a little sarcasm. But I don't mean it in a bad way. Well, he was preaching, and he kept saying, yeah, my wife, bless. And I had not, embarrassingly, I'm going to tell you, I had not been in my devotions or read my Bible or had my quiet time in about a week. And I was not my best self. And when you're not in the Word, you're not your best self. You are irritable, you're agitating, you're argumentative. And as I sat there and he kept talking, he'd come off the platform and standing on the floor. And I was sitting there and I was so aggravated at him. And I was like, shut up. Just shut up. And he wouldn't look at me. So I was like, okay. All of a sudden, I'm tightening my water bottle. And I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I tightening my water bottle? And I tighten it. And as I tighten it, I throw back like this. And I throw a water bottle at my husband while he's preaching. I'm like, what are you doing? And I just was like, well, that nobody, maybe nobody saw it. And so he goes, and I just smirked at him like, He quit talking about me, and he moved on. Then stinking Tom Rechtwall had to go over and pick it up. I said, why are you picking it up? People are going to notice. So later, my sweet mother-in-law texted me and said, I'm glad you did that. I said, I don't need encouragement. That was not my best self. And then another sweet mama, she said, he needed that. I'm like, still not my best self. There was no encouragement, but I will say, it felt good for a minute. And then I felt bad because I thought, what am I doing? I've heard about pastors' wives being ugly, their husbands, why they pray. I thought, I'd never do that. Well, check that off, done that. It was them. And I realized, oh my word, Jesus, I'm sorry. Not only did I, what's the right word? But anyway, not only did I do that to my husband, I did that in public. I did not show my best self to him or represent him as a minister of God. Because yes, he's my husband, but he's also a man of God preaching. Not okay to do, so don't ever do that. Learn from me. But with that, I was like, God, I am so sorry. And he reminded me, it's because you've not been with me. And I was like, oh, ouch. So I quickly, because I'm even going to tell you this, because this is who I am. I even went in that night. I didn't want to be there. I'd went late. I didn't want to be in song service. I didn't want to worship. I didn't want to pray for anybody. I even said, God, I ain't going to pray for nobody. I ain't got it in me. And I was like, don't want to be there. Didn't want to do this. After I threw that bottle, and then I was like, oh, my Jesus. And, of course, someone came up to me and said, would you please pray for me? I was like, don't you have a sense of humor, Jesus? Yes. And I did. And I had to repent before I could pray for them because clearly I was not in the right mind frame. But it corrected me because you're not your best self when you do that. And you have to be your best self at all times. And how you do that is when you get into the Word. Because I want to start out with Matthew 7, 21. This is why it is so important to be in the Word. Because it says, verse 21, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do. He didn't want me to throw no water bottle and not pray for people. I'll just say that. When the judgment day comes, many of them will say, Lord, Lord, I know you. I know your name. I spoke it. I did miracles. I cast out demons and performed miracles. Then he will look at them and say, I never knew you. Go away. Dear God, I do not want to live this life loving Jesus. I love him. I worship him. But if I don't know him, he don't know me. I don't want to hear him say, I don't know you. Go away. Because this life has been way too hard to not make our goal in heaven. And if we don't take the time to know him, what do we do? It's just like Tamara and I, we are blessed. She's not only my pastor's wife, but she also is a friend of mine for years before we even came to the crossing here. And we would have, the kids were little, both of our, Zeke's now 18, Haley's almost be 19, and they were in elementary school. We'd pick them up and Haley called it, my daughter called it, are you having Tamara talk time? And I said, yes. We'd be on the phone talking to each other. So if I never took Tamara talk time to know her, we would not have a relationship. I wouldn't know how her feelings are. I wouldn't know how to pray for her. I wouldn't know what was going on in her life. I wouldn't know what's happening and how to pray. Well, guess what? Jesus is the same way. If we don't talk to him and he talks to us, how can he go to the Father and pray on our behalf? How can he go and say, they need this, Jesus, or God? Jesus goes to the Father for us if we don't spend time with him. And you may say, okay, how do we do this? How do I spend time with him? Because you may not know. Some of you, pros, out of girls, take another sister, help them. Some of you may be new at this or haven't thought of these things. You can do with a friend. Everybody, get your phone. Everybody hold your phone. In your phone is a magical thing. It can be awful and it can be great. And there is a great thing called the Bible app. If you do not have it, go to the App Store right now, or whatever it is if it's not Apple. I don't know what it's called. Get the Bible app. It reads to you. So I know everybody drives. Everybody rides in a car. Or you go for walks. You can listen to the Bible. You can listen to devotionals. There are devotionals on there. You can get friends that you're sitting with right now at the table. Or if you don't know anybody, pick a friend. Do a devotional together. Count accountability. Because it will show you on that when you do the devotional. If somebody's missed for 4 days, you can be like, hey, you sick? Are you just missing 4 days? Or you'll be embarrassed and be like, oh, I missed 4 days. Let me catch up. So that person knows you're in the Word. It is so valuable to be in the Word because what you're putting in you, you may think, I don't remember it. I don't know what it says. I don't understand it. Keep listening. Read it. There are a couple of ways when you get in the Word to get it in your heart. And that is write it, read it, meditate it, and speak it. Those four little things, write it, read it, meditate, and speak it. When you do that, it gets in your soul. It gets in your stomach. It gets in you because you need this because of a crisis. You may be in a crisis now. You may be like, nope, no crisis right now. I'm good to go. Crisis is coming to you, I promise. Crisis is coming. You are in a season right now. I'll be very vulnerable and honest. We have been in a season. I'm a crier. It's hard. And I'm tired. But I know this is getting me through. I know I'm in it. I know he's there. Even though it doesn't feel like it, that season is going to go past because it's here. It's just like, some of you might know, some of you may not. My daughter, she's fine. She's 18 now, about to be 19. She was 3. She drowned. We found her at the bottom of the pool. We pulled her up. She was purple. And we had people around. We grabbed her. We began to do CPR. They rushed her to the hospital. And the whole time I'm going, she will live and not die. She will live and not die. God, you did this miracle. You did. And I'm thinking, I don't remember all of this, but I had been in my Word that week. We had been on vacation, and I had just been in my Word. I had been listening to it in my ear constantly. Kids were playing, and I knew when I called 911, I began to speak in tongues, and I thought I was talking to the lady, and I wasn't. And the lady said, ma'am, if you do not speak English, I can't help you. And I was like, I'm talking to you. I'm telling you everything that's going on. We get to the hospital, and they said, now, Mama, they patted me. I remember the pat, and it felt like a sarcasm pat of almost the enemy going, ha, 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 ha. They said, Mama, you're going to have to prepare yourself. She's never going to be mentally right. She's going to be brain dead. She's going to be this and that. And I remember pushing them off, and I said, she will live and not die. You will not speak death over my child. God is with me, and get out of this room. And then we prayed, Lord, nobody comes in this room that doesn't believe in a miracle. I had 2 nurses walk to the door, turn around, and walk out. I had the doctor come to the door and go, come here. He said, I think it's best I leave your case. I said, I do too. We got another person. Within 24 hours, that baby's made whole. Ain't nothing wrong with her, but she's blonde and cute. So I say that because of your crisis, if you do not have this Word, you will not make it through your crisis. You will not make it to heaven. I'll just be plain and simple. It just said in Matthew 7, depart, I don't know you. If you don't have a relationship, ladies, understand, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I fail in doing my devotions daily. I fail 2 days. I get back up and do it again. I have that quiet time. It's like our ministers have been saying, all of our preachers, Pastor Jonas, Pastor Michael, Pastor Hector, get in your quiet place. That quiet place may be the shower. That quiet place may be in your car. The other day, I'm sure somebody thought I was a lunatic. I'm literally turned up worship, and I'm just worshiping Jesus down I-4, raising my hands. I had one guy kind of look, and I was like, if you only knew the hell I'm going through right now, if you only knew what all we're doing, my worship will get me through, because my word says you worship, you are with him, he will honor that and get you through. Ladies, you've got to get in the word. It is so valuable. It is so important. So drive, listen to the preaching. Moody Radio, perfect example. 9 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon is different ministers every day. They are powerful. They have got word. Listen to Bill Johnson. Listen to our guys. Go back to the archives and listen to the word. There are so many valuable things to listen to. Even when you're doing devotion, say you don't do journaling, that's okay. Do a thing called SOAP. It is scripture, observation, apply, and pray. So when you read the scripture, think about what is that, observing it, apply it to your life. Don't just read it and not do, because what's going to happen is when you read this word, yes, you're going to be convicted and you're going to change some things in your life, because you are not going to know what to do because it God showed you. So apply that and then pray. Ask God, God, I need you. Just like Andy Andrews said last night, get in your room, say to your family, you may hear some weird noises, just ignore it. I'm purging some things out of me, because you've got to get with Jesus. There is nothing more important than your relationship with the Lord, because when you do that, if you crave relationship with your husband, if you crave relationship with your friends, if you crave relationship with your children, if you crave relationship from a parent, I guarantee you, you get in this and you get in the word and you get where Jesus has you, you will have those relationships. They will increase. You will be a better mother. You will be a better coworker. You can win your coworkers to Jesus. You will be a better wife. You will be a better spouse. Well, wife, yeah, because you're a wife. You will be you're a mother, a parent. To your parents, you'll be a better child. Get in the word. It is just like there is a quote from Henry Blackaby. He wrote The Experiencing God, and it says, the more you know of God, the more clearly you can hear him. You may not hear God's voice every day, but having his presence near you every day is faithless and is priceless. So you may say, I don't hear Jesus. I don't hear him. Are you being quiet enough to hear him? Are we just talking and talking? Are we talking and telling what our needs are and then sitting there? Listen to some worship. If you don't know how to do it, ask a friend. Ask me. Come talk to me. We'll walk through it. It's not rocket science. But read the word. Talk to him. Tell him everything you would tell that you wouldn't tell nobody else. Because guess what? He already knows it. He's already got it. He's just waiting for you. He's like, you done yet? You done doing it by yourself yet? Because I'm here. I already know everything. I don't know why you're coming embarrassing to me. Because there's nothing embarrassing. The Father already knows. But he's waiting for you to be quiet and to hear his voice. He helps you through every step of what you're doing. This is not to bring condemnation on you at all. Please do not feel that. Because condemnation is from the enemy. And that's what he would want you to be. And be offended and be hurt that, oh, I don't do it. I don't do my devotions. I don't do it like they do it. Guess what? One of my best friends we've known for 20 years is Dawn Alday. That woman is a praying saint. Let me tell you, that woman gets up. She'd be embarrassed if I told this. She'd be aight. She gets up probably at 4:35 every morning and worships. I know this because I've been on vacations with her and she does it. I've been in her home and lived with her for a while and she's done it. That woman prays to Jesus. She is fabulous, and she knows God. I don't do that. I don't get up at 4:30 in the morning. I don't get up at 5:30 in the morning and pray. But I do get up when Jesus says, hey, I need to talk to you. He puts a burden in you. So that's what I want you to do. I'm not condemned that I'm not a Dawn Alday. That's Dawn Alday's road. Everybody has a different road. Not everybody gets a different one. You get your own. It's what you decide to do with it and how you get to walk with it. So this is not to condemn you. This is to convict you if Jesus convicts you. I'm not convicting you. Hear me. I'm not. There's no conviction here. But if Jesus is, you deal with that. You need to do that. So I just want to take a minute to pray for you. I want everybody's eyes shut. And if that is you, that you say, you know, I've just failed at this. I didn't know. It's like the word, Matthew 7 continues to say, when you build your house on solid rock, wind comes, rain comes, just like we sang that song today, but we stand with him. And if we've been in that word, just like when my daughter drowned, he was with me every second. I didn't cry. I didn't wait. I told God, you will do this. Remember this in the Bible, this and this and this. And I only did that because of what I had been in the word. So if you haven't, it's okay. If you feel comfortable enough, everybody's eyes are shut, they're not seeing it, raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. And if you have, great. If you stay in it, good. And it's okay. There's no condemnation here at all. I raise my hand with you, trust me, because there are days I'm not my best self. I miss it. Jesus, I thank you for these honest, mighty women of God. I thank you for these women that are vulnerable enough to say, I've missed it, Jesus. I need to be with you more. Help me carve out that time, even if it's 5 minutes, even if it's listening to a message, even if it's listening to a podcast about you, even if it's worshiping you. God, every day, crave us to be in your word. Crave us. You've written these love letters. If it was good enough for Jesus to fight the enemy and have his sword, it is good enough for us to fight. God, I just ask you for each woman's hand that is raised this week. They find time and they realize their day is better. They're a better person. And they carve that out, not because of a duty, not because of it's supposed to be, because of a longing and a wanting. God, I thank you for these women that have already done this and gone before and are diligent in being with you, diligent in the word, diligent in your prayer time, diligent getting others to do. God, keep them faithful. Keep them continuing to do this. God, bless these women that have just towed the way before us and are bringing us alongside of them. Continue to bless them and carve out their time. Give them a sweet difference this week. God, as they worship you, give them something new. And I just thank you, God, for all that you're doing in our lives. I thank you for these women and the honesty. And I just ask you to be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen.